Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we talk about the risks and rewards of chasing used enthusiast-level hardware. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McCain.
Dennis, last month we talked a bit about some planned upgrades I had for my PC.
Yeah, moving you out of the 1070 SLI rig that you have into something in the RTX range.
Exactly. Now, I also wanted to do some upgrades to the drive to get some speed out of it. Mm-hmm. So, sharp-eared listeners probably know from the main show that I did buy a new video card, but I also purchased a Western Digital Black Edition. M.2 drive.
Yep.
This is my first experience with the Western Digital drive, and I have to tell you that I'm pretty impressed.
I've heard good things about the Western Digital drives, and since your Samsung was really small, like 256 gig or whatever.
Exactly.
Why did you go?
Well, I wanted to be able to install my critical things all on my main drive. Now, I still have in the machine, for now at least, a 2 terabyte hybrid drive that I've had for quite some time.
That's where all your games are.
Pretty fast rotational drive, and I'm honestly just waiting for the larger SSDs to come down in price, and then it'll be gone too.
Yeah. Well, and generally speaking, for NVMe drives, anything above 500 gigs is going to have you the fastest throughput just because of the way that the chips are laid out against the controller. So, pro tip.
I think likely I will probably upgrade to a new motherboard and chipset, though, that will have more of those M.2 slots on board.
Oh, yeah, and all then, NVMe.
And then that'll give me an excuse to make that change probably next year. Right. But as I mentioned, I did buy a video card, but didn't start out as a 2070 Super video card.
It didn't. Oh, wait a minute. I know this story, but this is kind of fun.
So I wanted to talk about this a little bit for the folks at home, because I think people have a very strong conception, or misconception maybe is a better way of putting it, that because we work for a hardware site, we just get whatever we want so we can build these amazing machines. And that is just not always true.
Hardly ever true, really. The manufacturers send us the hardware because they want exposure on this particular piece of kit. And a lot of times it might be a hard drive enclosure.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out that really the goal of sites like ours is to partner with the manufacturers to help them extend their advertising, put some numbers behind it, and some real world experience that hopefully you can trust. But the downside of that is that we sometimes get stuff that we really don't want.
Or we get a whole lot of stuff that we can't always use, like my stack of motherboards in the corner over there.
Absolutely. To save a few bucks and to help me get the card that I wanted, I went out, like a lot of us do, and tried to buy a card on the open market used.
eBay, right?
Yeah.
eBay.
So I love eBay, and the primary reason that I love eBay is because, at least at the time this was recorded, and for some time, they've been buyer-friendly. If you use their PayPal service, they're super good about protecting your purchase.
And super good, and sometimes people take advantage of that. But in your case, I think it worked out well.
Exactly. So, long story short, I was trying to get into an RTX card, and I didn't want to settle for a 2050 or a 2060, although the 2060 is normally about where I would strike from a price-to-performance standpoint if I were purchasing new.
2070 is the way to go.
So, I looked at a 2070, and I found a beautiful, like-new, unopened in-box 2070 card for what I thought was a pretty good price. Now, to be fair, maybe somewhere between 50 or 80 if you include shipping, cheaper than retail. So not a huge savings because it's a pretty new card.
Although it was the non-super edition, I believe.
Nope, it wasn't a super, and that was kind of what got the price down to where I thought I could get the drive and maybe have a little extra money to do some other upgrades too. Even if they weren't particularly necessary. But I digress. So I bought a card, and I waited patiently for it to arrive. And when it showed up, Dennis knows this story because I called him and I said, "Dennis, I can't open this box because it is destroyed."
Yeah, the box, well, it was a repack. I mean, a lot of items you get on eBay are, you know, whatever box they have. It's not a new box.
So when you drop $4 or so on a video card, you don't expect the box to shake and rattle like, I don't even know what. So I didn't want to open it. And this is where I want to provide my experience to you listeners out there. Dear God, if you get a box and it looks sketchy, don't open it without someone there to film you.
Yeah, because you never know what you're going
to
get.
Exactly. Now, I don't think that we need to go so far as to post the video on this podcast, although I'm really tempted to shame this guy.
I think it'd be kind of fun. Although it's a little detoxy, I guess. But anyhow.
Yeah. So anyway, sure enough, I opened it up and there was no padding of any kind. Large box with small box in it. RTX 2070.
From Gigabyte.
From Gigabyte. A good one. I love Gigabyte cards. Was pretty excited. And I opened it up and it looked pretty good. Sitting in the box with the plastic on it.
Oh, and the plastic was actually, the tape wasn't broken?
Tape wasn't broken. The seal. No tampering. I'm like, sure enough, new in the bag, at least if the box was open, which was a little bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at it and trying to determine, how it was. And initially, as Dennis will tell you, I was like, yeah, this isn't so bad. And I turned it over and we noticed the back plate on it was there. And I wasn't expecting a back plate. Nope. And the back plate was branded.
With EK.
EK.
And then we flip it back over and I say, this is an EVGA card.
And suddenly we've got a problem because we've got an EK back, which is exciting. Not expected. Nice bonus. Mm-hmm. But on the front, EVGA, when I bought truly an MSI card. So we stopped and said, what do we have here? And sure enough, it was dun dun da.
We have an EVGA 1060. Not even the good one.
No, terrible one. And used.
And used, of course. So we start investigating a little bit more. We look at the box, and the box was an RMA return from Gigabyte. I recognize the address. I've actually been there.
Right.
So what probably happened was that this person had a 1060. He bought an RTX 2070 and then put his old card in the RTX box. And then somewhere along the line, he had a problem with that card, sent it back to Gigabyte. He probably just stuck a screw in the fan or something like that. He got it back, so we now have the RMA box, but he decided to sell the RTX 2070, not knowing that the 1060 was in it. Although I have a feeling that he knew. The thing was, he was really careful about peeling up the tape. He didn't cut it.
Yeah, it looked like it even could have been steamed or something equally nefarious.
Yeah.
But anyway, so of course I'm disappointed. And so we go back to the ad to see what really did I buy, because it could have been me, right? I mean, we've all made some crazy hardware purchases in the middle of the night.
Yeah, some alcohol's involved.
Of course, I immediately, because I'm that kind of guy, like, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong? And we looked at the ad and discovered one of the main things, and this is where I want to stop and talk to you guys a little bit about what you should look for when you're purchasing hardware through a used site, especially eBay. Mm-hmm. Because this is a textbook case where even a super experienced buyer like myself just did not take the time.
Yep.
So what do we have? We had stock pictures.
Yes, stock pictures. That is the big red flag. So whenever you're on eBay and you see an item that you'd like to buy, but they cannot be bothered with taking a picture of the actual item, you never know what you're going to get.
I know. And I should have noticed. But new in box is what the ad said. And so I felt like, all right, well, he's got a new box here. He did. So he probably doesn't have any pictures of the card because he hasn't opened it.
Right.
And justification.
And I've seen a lot of ads like that where they say it is new in box and they will take a picture of the sealed box.
Right.
Which is fine. And as long as it's a real picture to verify that this is really what you're going to get, that kind of sets the buyer at ease.
And that wasn't even the worst of it, because honestly, I should know better. Mm-hmm. Because this guy had 84% positive feedback, which in the modern eBay era is really not good.
No, it's not. And even if you've only sold a couple of things, or if that to get to an 85%, that means you got a bunch of negatives somewhere along the lines.
Absolutely. So we pulled up this turkey's feedback, for lack of a better term, and discovered that I'm not the first person he tried to scam with this very same purchase.
Yes.
So he had already negative feedback for the exact scam I had fallen for. So of course, not to be taken, I filed and got a win and ended up getting my money back, even though I sent what maybe was a functional card back to this poor guy. So who knows? He may try it again, although it's not up today. Yeah. But I did want to point out that I was able to go back around with a little bit stronger budget and a little bit better purchasing decision and come away with a much better card for not a ton more money. But we've all bought a lot of hardware online before.
Yeah, it's a great way to get a hold of that piece of kit, piece of product, whatever you want to call it, that you wanted when it was new, but either didn't have the budget for it, or you didn't have any way to use it, or, you know, whatever reason, chances are somebody is selling that item online.
So I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about some of our positive experiences, because they're not always bad, although we've had some bad eggs in our past.
Oh yeah. A lot of it is just poorly shipped products and stuff. People not realizing that they're shipping something that's 200 pounds and they can't be placed vertically.
Well, I think that's a great thing to talk about. It's not been that many podcasts, and we'll send a link to when we purchased one of those 1070s, the Seahawk edition, and it showed up with just enough crack to leak.
Yeah. So I will try to dig up that podcast episode so you can check it out. But basically, Darren bought one of the 1070s. It was a Seahawk. He wanted to run SLI, so you need to have basically the same kind of car to run it in the same machine. It had a water block on it, so it matched his. When we went to go and, well, he dropped it off here so I could actually loop it up for him. And we put a little fluid in there, and it just started leaking really bad. And I'm like, this isn't good. So drain the system, pull it out. And turns out there's a crack that goes at the very top of the block. In EKs, there is three screws that seal up two O-rings for the water in and the water out.
Right.
The plastic or the acrylic in between those two water channels is relatively weak. So if you tighten the screw too much, it will pop that acrylic out. And that's a common break
in ironically, these particular cards. Yeah. I mean, maybe a design flaw, but most people are aware of it.
Right. Now, you, when you purchased the card, I believe it was an RMA return in a brown box. So basically they got it back from MSI, didn't open it, and then just resold it.
Exactly.
So chances are what happened was MSI got this card and they tested it on their bench. This card works great. And then just put it back into the RMA pool because everybody was buying 10 series cars during the mining era.
Exactly.
He gets the card, it gets shipped out. You get a broken card because MSI didn't check the water block. They just checked to make sure that the card worked.
Or if they did, they ran it not long enough to put any pressure or heat on it.
Right. And unfortunately, there's no way to get a new block top for it from EK. So I resorted into fixing it. Basically, you glued the acrylic back together. And what I did is I took some glue and ran it through the hole on the top so that it could fill the crack. Put a screw in there to put a little bit of pressure on it. Put a little bit of glue on both sides of the water channel and sealed it up. Basically, a little bit of epoxy in there. Turns into plastic. Never leaked again.
Yep. Works great, actually. Only downside is if you look close, you can see a little bit of that liquid has dyed slightly the thing. But I digress. But that's a little bit of a cautionary tale too. But in this case, no one was at fault. So we did our best to make it work and it ended up working great.
Yeah. And I've had a similar issue. I talked about buying something that was about a phase out of Florida. And I think I got scammed actually. But basically, the phase showed up. It was a Cooler Express dual head phase machine. When it got shipped to me, the guy put it in a box that was the same shape as the phase box itself with a whole bunch of peanuts around there, which for an item that's close to 200 pounds, packing peanuts is not enough. And it was shipped vertically because of the type of box that they used. And when it showed up, all of the internal parts were at the bottom of the cooler.
Oh no, what happened?
Well, when it got jostled around, basically, the compressor inside this phase machine is just rubber mounted. And since it has to sit horizontal,
right,
if it gets shipped vertically, what happens is it has all that stress on those points and it just ripped it off of the rubber mounts. And at that point, it breaks all of the gas lines and it broke really bad.
Catastrophic damage. What ended up happening?
Well, the seller was very, very quick to file an insurance claim with UPS. Because they're the ones that shipped it, right?
Right.
And UPS came by the house a couple of times to pick it up, and they were going to take it away because that's how the claim works. I wanted to fix it because you couldn't buy those Cooler Express chillers anywhere.
Right.
And this was toward the end of single stage phase being a thing. So I was looking for someone locally that would be able to actually fix it for me. I just wanted the money from the shipping claim to get it fixed.
Oh, sure. Make it right.
But I want to say that the guy in Florida that shipped it to me probably already had it broken, shipped it out to me because there was no way for me to know that it actually worked beforehand, shipped it out to me with the intent that he was going to have UPS insurance on it.
Take the fall. Oh, no.
So it shows up broken to me. I can say, hey, it's broken. UPS picks it up. Since it went on their freight service, he has it insured for whatever he had it insured for, and he would make a nice profit off it. I get my PayPal money back. He gets the insurance claim.
Everybody wins, for UPS.
Except for UPS. In the end, what happened was he refunded me half of the cost because he shipped two boxes, basically. Refunded me half of my purchase price. It was enough for me to get it fixed. I had to ship it off to somebody down in Georgia to go and fix it. He shipped it back. And I used it for, I don't know, maybe a week, and it's been sitting under the desk ever since. But we've had plenty of really good purchases.
Yes, we have.
So, for instance, I bought a 7080 Kingpin Edition, which was one of the very first GTX 780s, well, the very first Kingpin Edition card from EVGA, and they used the GTX 780 chipset for it. I got one of these cards very early. I did a review on it through no fault of my own. I had some issues. I shipped it back to EVGA, and somehow it got lost. I never got the card back. So I went on eBay. It turns out there was somebody in Sun Valley, which is not too far from Boise, that had this card. And it was a good price. I bought it, woo-hoo, shipped it out. It was in the original packaging, and it worked great.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Bad hardware for reviewers is a difficult thing because the window for these products is so small that even when you send them back, sometimes that window is closed and they're no longer interested in working with you, and you never see that product again.
Yeah. Or you ship it back and there isn't anything to replace it with because it was such a limited run that there was only one allocated for media review.
Well, that's most certainly true with some of those Kingpin cards. And I remember that problem all the way back with some of those boutique motherboards too, like the infamous Quad Royale.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this where you got it and you had troubles or something.
Yeah, we couldn't get all four of the SLI slots to work together, and they needed to put a custom firmware on it, they thought, because it was a one-off card. So we sent it back to them, and they maybe fixed it. I don't know. But then they sent us a completely different mainstream motherboard to make up for it, which, of course, was nowhere near as exciting as these limited unicorn motherboards.
Yeah. Chances are what happened is they couldn't get it fixed and then kept it and then just replaced it with something that they had.
Sure. Give them something. Throw them a bone.
Throw them a bone.
At least they paid for shipping.
Well, yeah. That's one good thing about ASUS and RMA in general, mm-hmm, is a lot of times they will... You got to pay to get it to them, mm-hmm, but you don't have to pay to get something back. And a lot of times it's either a new product or it's a refurbished product. EVG has a really great step up program where they go and accept good hardware that people don't need so that they can buy something new. And then they will use those products either as a B stock sale or as an RMA sort of situation. So if you break your 1060, you'll get another 1060.
So I like the alternative of buying things with B-stock, but mm-hmm, there are other ways you can get hardware deals through legitimate sites like Newegg, for example. They do open box items. Now, you kind of have to watch to see stuff come available, but these are generally returns that they've tested, or it could be products that they've simply opened to photograph and test or use in their promotional videos as well.
Yeah, I've heard that some of the open stock stuff is just basic returns. So there may not be a cable in there. There might be a slight blemish. A lot of times it's like, I ordered this TV and this isn't the TV I wanted. I wanted the 65 inch. They may not have actually even opened it. They just ship it back.
Well, and if you're in the right neighborhood, you might have companies like Best Buy or Fry's also will have those in stock in their stores too. Mm-hmm. So something to look out for.
Yeah, but you can't always get computer hardware that way.
No, and it really is just timing. So you may never find what you're looking for.
That's true.
So that takes you back to online auction sites. But I'm guessing that there are probably a few things that you should never purchase used for an enthusiast machine.
Yeah, there's a few things that I personally, I mean, people buy used stuff all the time. You buy a used laptop, right? Well, mm-hmm, you never know if that used laptop has been thrown in a ditch or in a house that's been smoked in or out on a job site somewhere where there's layers and layers and layers of dust.
So I think that's an interesting concept, being as you've bought an amazing amount of hardware and you buy high-end equipment like the Lightnings and the classifieds and those rare motherboards, there must be a few things that you would never purchase.
Never purchase. Okay, so power supplies.
Oh.
Never buy a used power supply.
Why?
Partially because new power supplies have the benefit of efficiency. We have this 80 plus rating, right? So if we have an 80 plus gold from 2 years ago that someone's selling for $30, you might be able to buy an 80 plus platinum for that same price new with a manufacturer's warranty.
Well, does time also affect the stability? And I know it affects the warranty.
It mostly affects the warranty. And warranty for certain items is very, very important. And honestly, if you never have to use the warranty, it's a perfect product.
Absolutely.
If you are one of these type of people that can't seem to get something to work and use the warranty to your advantage, shame on you. But for a power supply, you can buy a used power supply. They will last for years and years and years. Just look at the Commodore 64, right? It has a power supply that some of them blow up, some of them last forever. If they've blown up, it'll be within the warranty period. That's the rule of the way the warranty was back then.
Right.
For the modern enthusiast PC, it doesn't make sense to buy a used power supply because of efficiency. It won't run as hot and it will help your power bill.
So power supplies, and I get that. I'd be a little afraid to buy a used power supply just because I don't know if it's been overvolted, brownouted, whatever.
Water poured in it from a water cooling mishap.
Exactly. And that's one of the few things that I think the average person should never open. So it's kind of a little black box for me, right? You don't want to open your power supply. One, it voids the warranty. And two, it's just so easy to get hurt. I mean, that's where everything is going to zap you.
That, I would agree. The other item, well, there's a lot of items, really. SSDs.
Oh, why? I would think an SSD doesn't have any moving parts. It's a really safe purchase.
Well, for one, most SSDs are small. Anyone that's going to sell something that is used is going to be relatively small, much like your 256 gig Samsung drive.
That is the life of the enthusiast. You end up with a stack of these little drives.
And the other one is that the NAND in the SSD has a definite wear life. And this is something documented by the manufacturer. They will last for about 10 years before the chips become unusable.
We've talked a little bit about the life cycle of a PC, especially when it comes to high-end versus mid versus low. And in general, I think we've both agreed that the PC is not going to have a useful life, at least from a gaming or enthusiast level, of more than about 5 years total. So that sounds like a pretty safe distance.
Yeah. The next item would be RAM.
Oh, RAM. Okay.
Now,
same reason?
Not for the same reason. Actually, with RAM, buying used modules will most likely not match your current machine. So for instance, anyone that's selling a RAM module is probably selling a DDR3 from their X58 machine.
Okay.
If you are putting together the latest Ryzen 3, you need to have DDR4. Chances of you finding a DDR4 module on eBay or, well, you could probably get them open box, but on eBay, for instance, it's going to be nil. There's no market for used memory.
Well, and I know there are compatibility issues. If you're not buying the right combinations, you can get memory that, well, it may work, but it might not have the XMS profiles functional. It might cause glitches that you'll spend the rest of your life wondering what's caused your machine to reboot.
Yeah. And with memory, it depends on your machine. If you're putting together an X58 and you need to have an extra couple of sticks of RAM, hit up eBay because that is, people are going to be selling that stuff. But for a modern gaming rig, you're probably not going to be able to buy it.
I think we should also point out that if you already have RAM and you're trying to add more RAM to it, then the puzzle gets even more specific because you really can't just buy any two sets and get them to work together.
No, not always. You need to kind of have the timings and the speed. Otherwise, you get crashes and you hurt your performance overall. The next item is a little controversial because I've been guilty of doing it.
Uh-oh.
Processors.
Oh, danger. Now, a processor is probably the only thing that I'm afraid to buy used.
Yeah. Now, processors, I know they are very, very robust. You have to do something really tragic to break a processor. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't find somebody like me that overclocked it and killed it and then decided, hey, I have this processor, I'm going to go and sell it.
Well, I'm grateful for the days of broken pins and bent pins are behind us. So things have gotten a little bit safer. Mm-hmm. But you're right. This is one of those things where you never know what the wear and tear is. And a processor like the RAM is one of those things where if it's even just a tiny bit broken, you'll have glitches and blue screens and never be able to track them down.
Yeah. A lot of times it can be attributed to the motherboard, but sometimes the processor just is damaged. I've had brand new processors installed on a motherboard that killed the processor because the board was bad. It's just how it works. Of course, there are other items like coolers. Well, why are you buying a used cooler? You can get a new one for, you know, a relatively good price. You know, the all-in-ones, the pumps and whatnot, you never know if somebody go and drain a little bit of the fluid off or if the pump actually stopped working one day and that's why they don't use it anymore. Air coolers are pretty safe. Replace the fan and you're good to go. But if you're paying $10 for a fan on a $30 cooler, I would say buy a brand new cooler. You know what I mean?
Well, I feel like you haven't really mentioned anything that you should buy used online.
That's a good point. I mean, because as an enthusiast, I am looking for the latest and greatest hardware. It may not be the top of the line. I might go middle of the road, but I don't necessarily want to put a used video card into my brand new machine. However, in certain situations, like what you had with your 1070, it makes sense to buy a used video card and drop it in there. And video cards are one of those things that it's hit or miss on whether or not it's safe, but it is a good way to get a hold of a product that you couldn't normally get otherwise. A good example of this would be when we were looking for your RTX 2070, the Super Edition that we bought, the MXi Gaming X.
Ooh.
We were on eBay and we were looking around and we found a Galax card. Do you remember this one?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we found this Galax. It was an RTX 2080 Ti. And Galax is
some kind of fancy edition. What was it?
It was the Hall of Fame limited edition.
Hall of Fame edition. That's right.
So Galax is one of those companies out of China and they sell in Asia Pacific. The Hall of Fame edition products are, in a sense, halos. They might make 1,000 of them and they'll give away 10 of them to reviewers and media personalities within that region. Some of them get allocated to the Galax Hall of Fame overclocking competition because these products are designed for overclocking.
Right.
It is very, very, very rare that you see a Hall of Fame card in the United States. And we saw one on eBay.
New.
New. New in box. The backstory was this guy bought it from his friend who bought it to build a machine. He had some hard times. He gave him some cash and now he's trying to sell it on eBay. And I want to say it was up to $1,900 and he had a couple of days left on the auction.
Spendy, but definitely a unicorn.
Definitely a unicorn. And that was one that, I had my credit card out. I was going to buy it.
Oh, so close.
So close. But and this is one of those sort of purchases where I probably would never use it. I just want to have it. And this is kind of why I go out and buy the 780 Kingpin editions, because I had this card and I lost it. I really wanted it, so I got another one. At the Boise LAN party, there was a gamer there that had a 980 Kingpin edition that he bought, and he had troubles with it in his machine. He sent the card back on RMA and had another one sent to him in brown box. So basically, it was an RMA return, perfect card. And I traded him for it because I wanted that Kingpin card. Put it under LN2, made some really nice scores for Hardware Bot, and then put it back in the box. Those are the kind of purchases that I make of hardware that I couldn't buy when it was new because this card was close to $1,000. And it's like, I didn't want to pay that for a Kingpin edition card at the time. Now I do.
Well, I think that you're a bit of an exception as a collector. I think if I've learned anything from this podcast episode, it's that if you're buying cutting edge enthusiast hardware used, there's probably a good reason why it's on the market because it's too new really to be out there. So you just need to be careful and protect yourself. And there are a few things you probably just shouldn't buy. So let us take that hit for you guys and good luck out there.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2020. Thanks for listening.
Example.
Example.
Talk about unicorns.
Okay.